Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for this chance to be gathered in your house, to sing your praises, to lift up our prayers, to hear from your word, to be fed at your son's table with his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, to be gathered with other believers. Father, we thank you. All good things come from you. We thank you, Father, for the healing that comes on the Sabbath. Open up our hearts and open up our minds now, Father. Plant your word deep within us that our faith would bear the fruit that you desire. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name, according to your will and for your glory. And all of God's children, we all say, Amen. Our sermon text for this weekend in worship is Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. Let me read it for us again. It says, one Sabbath, when he, that's Jesus, went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, those Pharisees were watching Jesus carefully. And behold, there was a man before Jesus who had the dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. They refused to answer Jesus. So Jesus took this man, healed him, and sent him on his way. And then Jesus said to them, which of you, having a son or an ox, has fallen into a well on a Sabbath, would not immediately pull him out? But they would not reply to these things. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to understand something as we look at this text. And that is the nature of what the confrontation was between Jesus and these religious leaders, and how serious this confrontation is. And what happens here in the text for today is really quite something when you think about it, because Jesus has been invited into this person's home for dinner. Now, I don't know about you, but when you go to somebody's house for dinner, do you expect to be challenged and confronted and falsely accused? Are those things that are normally like in what you're envisioning is going to happen? Probably not. But this is exactly what happens to Jesus. And the confrontation has to do with what is acceptable behavior before God on the Sabbath. And this confrontation is not the first time that this has happened in Jesus' ministry. I want to draw your attention, and I also want to ask you, if you would, to open up your worship folders. Inside your worship folders, there's a little space there for your discipleship notes. I want to encourage you to get out a pen or a pencil, because I want to share some notes with you, and I believe God is going to speak to you today through this message. And so if you do that, if you open up your worship folders, if you've got a pen or pencil, the first thing I'd like to ask you to jot down and take note of is Luke chapter 6, verse 6. Because in Luke chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus is invited into a Pharisee's home for dinner. And then there is this massive confrontation that happens in that house over the dinner. And the confrontation is the exact same one that we read in the text for today. It's all about what is acceptable behavior before God on the Sabbath. And I want to read this verse for you from Luke 6, verse 9. It says, Jesus said to them, listen to these words, it should sound pretty familiar. Jesus said to them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? He tried to make it pretty easy for them. Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And this isn't the only other time. In Luke chapter 11, if you're jotting this down, in Luke chapter 11, verse 37, Jesus is invited to another Pharisee's home, and again, a massive debate opens up about what is acceptable behavior before God on the Sabbath. And then Jesus responds to these people who've invited him to dinner with what theologians call the six woes. And I'm going to read those for you. You're going to see very quickly why they're called the six woes. This is Luke chapter 11, verses 42 to 52. This is Jesus speaking. But woe to you Pharisees. That's the first one. For you tithe the mint and the rue and every herb, but you neglect justice and the love of God. Those you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you Pharisees. For you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. It sounds kind of like the parable he was teaching in the reading for today. Then he goes on, he says, woe to you, Pharisees, for you are like unmarked graves. People walk over them without knowing it. Now this next verse always sort of cracks me up. One of the lawyers, now to this point, Jesus has been saying woe to the Pharisees. So you got to read to read, right? So one of the lawyers answered Jesus, teacher, in saying these things, you insult us lawyers too. Now Jesus hadn't even addressed the lawyers yet, but this lawyer is going to pipe up, right? And so then, verse 46, listen to Jesus. So Jesus said to the lawyer, woe to you lawyers also, duly noted. For you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves would not touch the burdens with even one of your fingers. Woe to you lawyers, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering. This debate that's going on in the reading for today, this confrontation that's going on in the reading for today, is one that happened throughout Christ's ministry. And quite frankly, I believe that this confrontation that we read about in Luke chapter 14 did not happen by happenstance. It did not happen by accident. I believe it was a trap that these religious leaders set for Jesus. And I'm going to tell you why. First of all, the scriptures tell us that these religious leaders hated Jesus so much that they met. Scripture tells us they met and they plotted how they could ensnare him, how they could trap him, how they could catch him in his own words. Scripture tells us that over and over and over again. And then secondly, the text for today says that the people who were there were invited. Think about that. The people who were there were invited. I mean, right? The guy who's got the dropsy, it's not like he's walking through the town and says, wow, that's a cool looking party they got over there. I bet they got some great matzo balls and they got some good food and I'm gonna go hang out with them. I'm just gonna show up. I don't think so. No. In fact, when you look closely at the text, you see that this person was right there before Jesus. It was a well-laid trap. They put this person right in front of Jesus. And what were they hoping to trap him in? They were hoping to trap him in sinning against the word of God. Now, if you're taking notes, this one's worth taking. In the Old Testament, there are 39 rules regarding behavior on the Sabbath. And by the time of Christ, the religious leaders had added hundreds more of them. And so the religious leaders at the time of Christ, they had this little scorecard. And they would keep score on the people around them. And that's what they were trying to do to Jesus. They were trying to keep score. Was he keeping all the law? Was he keeping all of our requirements? Was he doing everything? And here's the thing you got to understand to get this text, brothers and sisters. God does not want us to work on the Sabbath. Why? So that we would relax, we would enjoy, we would worship him. But nowhere ever did God say, you can't do good to help somebody else out. Nowhere ever. You see, what the religious leaders did in Jesus' day was they took the word of God and they made it into rules which then you would have to try to accomplish to earn your righteousness before God. And so they had this whole scoreboard that they had invented, with the vast majority of it being exactly that, their invention. And brothers and sisters in Christ, the same thing's true today. There are many within Christianity who've come up with their own little scoreboard of what it is to be right before God, and things you have to do to know that you are acting acceptably before God. See, there are people who say, well, you know, you can't dance, or you can't have a drink, or you can't smoke, or you can't play cards. There are people who say that if a woman wears pants or has her hair cut, that's not acceptable behavior before God. And then there's others who say that no matter how acceptable your life was before God, you're going to have to hang out in this place called purgatory for we don't know how long, but you're going to be there a long time to sort of make up for all that other stuff. See, these are all man-made rules. That's all that they are. And this was never acceptable to Jesus. And it should never be acceptable to us either. Jesus died to give us freedom. We should never give up that freedom to anyone. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Right? See, the message of Christ is such a powerful message, but the world that you and I live in, the way the world responds to the message of Christ, I believe can be summed up in a couple of ways. I think either, on the one hand, the world responds in silence to the message of Christ, right? Acts like, la, 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 I'm not hearing it. I didn't know about it. I what are you talking about? Doesn't make any sense. The world responds in silence, or the world tries to silence the people who are sharing the message. You're talking too much about that. We're going to ignore you. We're going to condemn you. The world reacts in silence, and the world reacts in self-justification. The world says, many people in the world would say, well, that's fine that Jesus died on a cross to pay for sins, but I really didn't need that because, you know, I'm not that bad. I'm not the worst. That guy's the worst. And if he's not the worst, then she's definitely got to be the worst because you know about them, right? But the problem with that, guys, is that that's not God's standard. God's standard isn't be better than most, or certainly be better than that, right? No, God's standard is perfection, brothers and sisters. That's what his standard is. His standard is perfection. And there's only one way to be made perfect, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life, died the atoning sacrifice, was raised from the dead, and then gave us the Holy Spirit that we would have this gift of faith by grace, not by works. And it's not of ourselves, so that no one would boast. Can we give God a praise clap for that? Amen. Amen. I did my research in preparing for the sermon. I try to do that on a regular basis. And in my research for the message for this weekend, I found something I thought was really kind of interesting and something you probably want to take note of. In the Gospel of Luke, the word Sabbath is used 17 times. You might want to write this down. You might want to think about it. And the thing is, the first time that the word Sabbath is used is in Luke chapter 4. Now, what happens in Luke chapter 4? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes to preach in his hometown. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there for Jesus, for his preaching? I mean, perfect sermon, perfect length, perfect illustrations, right? Perfect, perfect, perfect. That's something that every preacher hopefully aspires to. But what happens when Jesus is done with that perfect sermon, delivered in the perfect way? What happens in Luke chapter 4? It says that the people responded in anger, and they grabbed a hold of Jesus, and they marched him off to the brow of the cliff, that they would do what? That they would throw him over it. That's Luke chapter 4. That's the first time that the word Sabbath is used in Luke. The last time is in Luke chapter 23. What happens in Luke chapter 23? Well, you know, if you kind of know about how long Luke is, you know what's going to happen in Luke 23, right? Jesus has been crucified. And in Luke 23, it says that the women were preparing the spices, the ointments, to prepare Jesus for his death because the Sabbath was upon them. And so when we hear the word Sabbath and we think about our title, our theme, Healing Comes on the Sabbath, we look at the Gospel of Luke and these 17 times where the word Sabbath is used. And the first time is in Luke 4 where they tried to kill Jesus. And the last time is in Luke 23 when they succeeded in killing Jesus. And every single time in between is when Jesus has to confront these religious leaders about what is acceptable behavior before God. And ultimately, Jesus would bring us our healing on the Sabbath. Because it was on a Sabbath when he was laid in the tomb on our behalf. Amen. And it was on the Sabbath, it was through his death, through his resurrection, that Jesus took his blood-soaked garments and wiped clean the devil's scorecard on your life. And that's how you stand today, perfect before your Father in heaven. Healing comes on the Sabbath. Can we give God a praise clap for that? Amen. Amen. You know, God brings us our healing today. In the meal of the Lord's table, we receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sin. God brings us healing in the waters of baptism. And here's the thing that I want you to think about as we walk out these doors. As you sort of think, well, what's the so what of the message for this week? Because, see, we have a great mission statement as a church that we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through doing, how many things is it again? I need help. Three things. That's what I thought. Three things. Through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. That's exactly right. See, here's the thing I want you to think about as we walk out the door. That when you walk out the door and into your week, you're going to be in a world full of people who are living under hundreds of man-made laws. And they're thinking to themselves, I can't approach God. I can't be right with God. God wouldn't want me because I've done this and this and this. And I know, quote unquote, I know that kind of a person God would never want to be around. And so here's the thing that I want you to remember and to reflect on. Jesus knew the 39 rules that his Father had laid out, and he also knew all that man-made junk that they had added on. And so Jesus asked them a question. Is it lawful? Is it good to do this on the Sabbath? The answer is obvious. But these people wouldn't answer because they'd be revealed to be the hypocrites that they are. But here's the thing I want you to go away with today. Jesus didn't stop with the right question. He didn't even stop with the right answer. When everybody else around him was silent, Jesus healed this man and sent him on his way away from these people who would bind him up with their man-made silliness. Brothers and sisters in Christ, your healing came on the Sabbath. It is your Father's hope, his passionate desire, that you would bring this healing into your world also. Amen? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts, all of our minds, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Guys, let's rise. We're going to continue now with the confession of our faith.